Generally, I wait till the new year to start looking into renewed mind stuff. You know, new year, new mind. Gotta go that way. This year, I'm starting a little early. Maybe I need a little more renewing. But as always, the manifestations and the prayers were absolutely spot on because, you know, God does work in us. He has accomplished those things that he told us in manifestations. He has given us his son, and we have Holy Spirit, and we have the ability to walk every single day knowing who we are in Christ. And so, in listening to the teachings that are available in the universe and online, I've focused on one. It's called As He Is, but in listening to it, it resonated with me in a different way because it talked about how the three different parts of our identification with Christ. That it isn't just one thing. And sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes for me it's really hard to stop and think about how Christ accomplished what he did or how am I supposed to identify with Christ and how do I put on the mind of Christ and how do I know whether or not I'm walking by the Spirit? All of these questions come up on a pretty regular basis. And, you know, every so often along the way comes the examples that, yeah, you're doing it, babe. You got it. You're hanging on. You're doing what I want you to do. And some of that is seen by some of the things that have happened recently in my life. Like, you know, the hair salon person that I was telling Connie about a little bit last week. This, I needed a haircut and I'm walking down the street and I'm like, God, I need a haircut. And this woman comes out of a hair salon and offers me a haircut. And turns out,
that's awesome.
For free. I mean, you know, not just a haircut, but for free. But I need a dye, too. Don't worry about it. I got you. I'm like, oh, I can't. And then we start into this conversation, and her name is Kim, and she's a born-again daughter of God who is absolutely manifesting God's power on a way that is like when we used to first got in the Word, it kind of like make me go back and think things through. And I could share the Word with her that explained the things she was doing, but she was doing the things. And that just blew me away. It was not just an answer of prayer for something I needed in the physical world, but it was an answer to prayer for something that I needed in the spiritual world. I needed to know and to see that God is operating out there and that his calling to his children is so much bigger than what we even know. And so it's a delight. So I went back a month later, got my hair cut again, and we picked up our conversation right where we left off, you know, on what's going on with Paul, what did we know about the manifestations. And it was like, we're not talking milk and cookies here. We're talking steak and potatoes. And it was so amazing to me to see how God was working just in my one little life, in my one little house down in Florida, no less, where you're like, well, who are these people? Just to see there's a person who has a desire in their heart, and then there's a person who has a response to a need in someone else's heart. And God gets them together. It's something I've prayed for many, many times. And to just see that blew me out of the water. Nonetheless, back to where we are. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to be using this little fast turner because it's a faster turner. But I'll wait for you to catch up. In Romans 12, we know this one practically by heart, right? This is often my sign-on, my password. It be not conformed to this world, right? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And God told us he wants us to do that this morning. And it's a threefold thing. It's what's good, and it's what's acceptable to him, and it's what's perfect. And we'll see how that all works with God and how God had Jesus Christ fulfill those things in our lives. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. And just back a couple of pages, we're going to stay in chapter 8 a little bit. So we're going to start in verse 28. 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So the good thing is we're called to God's purpose. That's pretty cool. And so God works in the world to our good, to finding a needle in the middle of a sofa. God works. Connie can tell you about that later on. But God works in our lives, and He has a purpose for that work in our lives. It isn't just because, but He has so much that He offers us that we can manifest in our hearts and in our lives and transform our lives into what we would like it to be. So let's go back to verse 10 in the same chapter. In verse 10, we see, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And we're going to go a couple more. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And this is what God has done for us. He's made us His sons. This is good in His sight. Our bodies are physically alive, but spiritually dead. But we are spiritually alive because of the accomplished works of His Son. That was God's desire from the beginning of time. Adam screwed it up, but Jesus Christ came and accomplished what no one else could accomplish because He was God's Son. And that's what we're going to be talking a lot about. In terms of what Jesus Christ took on Him and what that does for us. I'm going to take a second here and switch over to the Working Translation and go back to this section in Romans and look at it from the Working Translation. Verse 11 reads, if the Spirit from Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit dwelling in you. We've got that Spirit in us, right? We got a lot of genetical crap in us. Let's leave it that way. More and more I'm finding out by it every day, which is also a reason why I'm doing this sooner rather than later. But we have Christ in us. And I remember learning so long ago, it's Christ in you from head to toe. Every single fiber of your being has this spiritual portion to it, has this spiritual greater reality to it. And God wants us to walk aware that that's the reality of our lives. Not the bumps, not the bruises, not the crap, but the spiritual truth of what He's given us in His Son. That's our reality. But man, that's a jump. I don't know about you guys, but that's a jump for me in my mind to remember that, to think that way. And it's important that we can, that we push our minds. We can't do that just by going to the Word one day a week. We can't. We don't have enough ability in this brain of ours to control those thoughts, to say the reality of my life is not what the world says the reality of my life is, but what God says He's given to me through the accomplished works of His Son. That's my true reality. And as I can put that on in my life, then I can look to see how God will work in my life. And I can see God at work in my life. And that's a day-by-day, thought-by-thought decision that we make as individuals, sometimes more successfully than others. But we want to understand that Jesus Christ accomplished His works by knowing who we were as unable to do what God would have us to do. So Jesus Christ was born, became man, took upon Him the flesh, although He had the Spirit, lived a sinless life, but accomplished the entire law. And it's in that accomplishment of what Jesus Christ did, identifying in the needs of the people who were living with body and soul life, that we can look to Jesus Christ and see who we could become. So first we look at what Jesus Christ identified with us as humans. So we're going to go to back to verse 3 here in same Romans chapter 8. You might get to verse 3 before me this time. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So Jesus Christ accomplished the law. Remember that section where it says, not one jot or tittle shall be
passed?
Okay, before the law is accomplished. So he did everything for us. And that's important that we know that he did do all of that for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. When you get to chapter 5, we're going to go down to verse 21. One more time, we see that he that we're talking about is God here in verse 21. For he, God, made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. That would have been Christ, because he had the ability to live the sinless life, and he lived that sinless life. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And being made the righteousness of God, when I see those words together, it always reminds me of Abraham. It always does, because Abraham, man, he had a 40-year journey. It took time. And he obeyed God. He did what God asked him to do over and over and over again. But I love it when he talks to God pretty forthright. In Genesis chapter 15, we're going to go look at Abraham receiving something pretty amazing. Chapter 15 of Genesis in verse 1. And I love the way that Abraham gives us the example of being honest and forthright before God himself. He didn't have a problem telling God if there was a need in his life. He just said it. So in verse 1 in chapter 15, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. Oh, wait, he's still Abram. He's not Abraham yet. I am thy seed and thy exceeding great reward. Hey, Abe, this is me. I'm God. I'm everything you need. Abraham looks at him. He's like, and Abraham said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house, this Eleazar of Damascus, he's the guy who's going to inherit everything that I'm making. So how good is all of this about God? I mean, you're giving me this stuff. Abraham had stuff. He had wives. He had cattle. He had people. He had an army. He went out and defended Lot, brought him back. He had all this stuff, right? But he didn't have an heir. That had been promised to him already. He didn't have it yet. But he still did what God told him to do on his journey. Abraham just did what God told him to do on his journey, and he spoke to God forthrightly. Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth of thine own bowel shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth. This one is the one that blows me away. He brought him forth and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now, the sky around here, okay, if you go to the beach at night, you can see stars in the sky when it's a clear day. Where we live in Florida, it's pretty easy to see the stars at night. It's kind of cool. Even though there's light, but you can see things that are really pretty awesome. But we still don't see what he would have seen. He's in the desert. Light's not invented yet. He goes out away from where everybody is, and God shows him the expanses of the universe. So shall thy seed be. And he doesn't have a kid yet. And Abraham had a decision to make. Am I going to believe God? That was his decision. Am I going to accept this thing that the Creator is telling me is true? which is pretty huge considering he didn't even have a single kid yet. And it says in verse 6, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. God counts Abraham righteous because Abraham believed him. Not having seen everything yet, having lived and walked a life with God that was fairly effective, but not having received that promise that he yearned for yet. But God considered Abraham righteous at that point. So let's go back to Romans, where we're righteous. We're back in Romans chapter 8. I'm in the right chapter. Nope, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Back in that verse 21, back where we were. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read again, for he made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, but we were born in sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We're made righteous. And then we know Romans 10, 9 and 10, if we confess with the Lord Jesus with our mouth and believe in our hearts that God had raised him from the dead, that's how we get born again. And we receive our righteousness when we believe, just as Abraham received his righteousness when he believed, because he's the father of believing. He's the father of us getting to a place to accept what has been done for us, that righteousness we have because of Christ's completed works. Okay, it'll make more sense, I promise. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. A little confusion. So we're talking about what Christ went through for us at this point, how he took upon himself our world or our condition. Okay, and it says in verse 13 that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Does that help tie that together for you? Mm-hmm. That what God did in Christ was so that we could receive that which Abraham received, which is the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay, so that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. When we get to 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going toward the end, verse 24. In 1 Peter 2:24, we see that Jesus Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And those of us that know in Isaiah, by whose stripes we are healed, now it's completely past tense. We are healed at the moment that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. But here we're looking at what Jesus Christ endured on our behalf. We're looking at the walk that he had, which was great to demonstrate how we could live. We're looking at the persecution he endured because he was God's only begotten son. We're looking at the curse of the law that was placed upon him. And all of that was fulfilled for our benefit so that we could one day be in this room and be thinking on how Jesus Christ delivered us so completely. We're going to switch, go to the next chapter in Peter, chapter 3, and verse 18 in chapter 3. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So Jesus Christ endured what he did toward our benefit. So he was as we were. He became the the way we were, in a state that was something that needed to be corrected, and we could not correct it. Mankind could not correct it. Only God's divine Son could do that. He took on himself our sins. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. The last verse of Romans chapter 4. We're going to go back a little further in here. We're going to go pick up some of the context. Verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, or bring alive the dead, and calleth those things which be not, as though they were. Abraham, in verse 18, believed against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. That, again, is Abraham is so tied into what it is that Christ accomplished for us. In verse 20, he, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Therefore, in verse 22, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not imputed for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, or made true for us, or given unto us, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, and Jesus was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. So we keep looking at what Jesus Christ accomplished, his death and his resurrection, that he did that for our good. Okay, just getting that in us. And then we know in Isaiah 53, I'm not going to go to it, but we know Isaiah 53 pretty well now, everything that Jesus Christ went through on our behalf. If you want to look at it on your own, you can take the note. Verses 4 through 12 talks about what he accomplished, but there is something in there that I do want to pay attention to, and that is, I'll just read it, you don't have to go to it. It's Isaiah 43, of course, and in that last section of what I was going to cover, Isaiah 43, verse 12, says, I have declared and have saved and have showed, nope, that's not it.
53,
sorry, I dropped the number. 53:12. That's the last verse there. Therefore, what God did for Jesus Christ, because he accomplished what it is that God wanted him to do, verse 11 I'll read, he shall see the travail of his soul, God shall see the travail of Christ's soul, and shall be satisfied. By this knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So all of what Jesus Christ did was on our behalf, and that's something that we can become humble to. We can become quiet in our minds when things are really going crazy for us in our days, and we can remember what Christ endured so that we could have a walk with him, so that we could have a life with God, and that God can work in our lives. Okay, so that's the first part. Jesus Christ identified with us as needing to have a Redeemer, and so he fulfilled that role. The second part is, as he was, so were we. So what Jesus Christ did was to accomplish the completion of the law on our behalf. So when we see the laws accomplished, then we receive the benefits of what would have been ours by the law. Yeah, okay, so we're going back to Romans chapter 6. Romans is really important to the believer to know our stand, where we've come from and where we are gone to. So Romans chapter 6, verse 3, we're going to talk about what we have in Christ. Know you not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we are not dead. We are alive because he did it all. We no longer have to do it all. In verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead in Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So Jesus Christ fulfilled all the law for us, and we have to think our brains through, look at the world that we're in, look at our natural person, and understand that that person is dead according to God's perspective, and our life is spiritually held because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a perspective for you. That's a way to think about life. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 3, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's our perspective, right? So when Jesus Christ was baptized, we were baptized. When Jesus Christ was circumcised, we were circumcised. When Jesus Christ died, we died. When he was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. All of what he accomplished, we line our brains up to see that that has been done in God's only Son. That has been done on our behalf. And then we keep talking about being in Christ, so guess what? In verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We will be as he is. And then when we take our minds and bring it to that set, that portion of as he is, then we really can start putting off the world and really walking with the efficacy that God would have us to walk with. So we're going to 1 John chapter 4. And give it a running start back in chapter in verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And that's our position at this point. We are to be as he is in this world. In Colossians chapter 2. Verse 11. The in whom is the in Christ, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And we know that when God forgave us all trespasses, he folded it in half and put it up on the wall, and it's gone. It's not ever coming back again. And we can put that on in our minds and in our hearts. Okay, we're going to finish off in Ephesians chapter 2, please. So what do we do with all of this? And how do we take all of this and put it into our brains? We're identified with Christ. We understand that Christ identified with us because his knowledge of the need of mankind to have a Savior. Then we can acknowledge who we are in Christ and understand that what he accomplished on our behalf. And that puts us where he is now. We are as he is. And in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's our perspective in life, that we have gone all the way through to being seated in the heavenlies with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go down to verse 14, please. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And that's what we have for Jesus Christ's completed work in our hearts and in our lives. And so in Ephesians, am I in Ephesians 4? We're going to Ephesians 4. Real quick. And in verse 14 of Ephesians 4, that was good, but this is where we're heading. That henceforth we be no more children. The purpose of knowing who we are and where we are and what we have and what's been accomplished is that we be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every weight of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And after reading that, I stopped and I thought, we got to grow up, yes, but we've been growing. It's not like this is day one for us in our lives. We've been growing in our walk with God over time and over the events of our lives that have helped us to stop and believe God bigger on a day-by-day basis. We are much further along than we were in the beginning when we first started understanding who we were in Christ. But how long did it take Abraham to figure it out? You know, give yourself a little slack. Maybe we need a little more time. Maybe we need a little more effort in God's Word. Maybe we need to do a little more reading in our brains. Maybe we need to do more praying. Maybe we need to do more speaking in tongues. Maybe we need to do a little more of thinking what God accomplished for us on behalf of our lives in His Son. Maybe that's how we start our day. Thanks God for what you did for me this day. Thanks God for how you've called me. Thanks God for a word you've placed inside of me that I can walk on in my life and share with somebody else and show me how to do that today. Maybe not today. Maybe I have to wait till tomorrow to meet that person that wants to hear God's word. But just show me who that person is so that I can be more effective in loving that person with the love that you loved me with. Strengthen my heart so that I can continue to stand another day. Strengthen my heart so I can fight the adversary's desires to hold me back and prevent me from being what you would rather have me to be. You know, that's the kind of honesty we can have with God. That's the kind of prayer we can start our days with God. And God would want us to have that. We're going to wrap up in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In the last verse, of course, Jesus did not go there. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So let's do this today, this week. Stop our brains. Think about what we need to do for God. Think about how God has worked in our hearts and in our lives. Remember who we are from God's perspective. And help ourselves be a little bit stronger.